Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I like 3 times you said, "Oh, that's a difficult chapter." Well done. Go, Ricardo. We release you. It is a very, very complicated, challenging chapter. You know, as I read, there's the sovereignty of God, the election of God. How does this work? Is he favoring one wise and he favoring the other one? It is such a complicated chapter. And I think that when Alex sent me that email, he must have been like, when I said, yes, I'll do it, he was like, he's off the hook. He's off the hook. So for a brief moment, I want to talk about the gospel of grace, the gospel of grace and God's choice. It's kind of crazy because how God chooses, sometimes we in our human mind can't understand. But at the end, he always seems to reveal why he did what he did. You know, just like Alex was saying there, I read the same with Pharaoh. Rudy, I want to say sorry. That was really good though, how you read that. You must do an audio. Audible Bible. That was really good. Even as you read it, I just felt it like opened up even more. But today I'm gonna focus more on the gospel of grace in a society where people are not receptive to the gospel. Okay, and then also what I want us to get from this today is how do we go away and what do we need to do in order for God's people who are not yet believers, how do we get them into the kingdom of God? And what's our role? What's our responsibility? And we're going to look at the scripture. And like I said, Paul is writing this. He's writing this letter from Corinth. And like I said, it's profound. It's a challenging chapter, but also it's where we see God's grace meets. Grace is basically God's unmerited, undeserved favor. We're sitting here today, and in the same chapter, it talks about the Jewish people and the Gentiles. Anybody Jewish here today? So, the Gentiles is the non-Jewish people, the nations, where we get the word ethnic groups, people apart from the Jewish people. So, Paul is now speaking to his own Jewish people, and he's actually challenging them. And we're going to look at this, and it's the same as today. It's timeless. We just heard this morning that there's so many wars going on and so many things going on. Our neighbors who are not saved yet, we still walk past them. They still walk past people in the shops in town who are not saved yet. What can we do? Because if God has caused us to be agents of change and if God has caused us to be ambassadors, what do we do? Because Jesus says in this world you will have many troubles. That's the hard thing, isn't it? Even there. In this world, you will have many troubles, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And it's like, so there's just a matter of time that God will show his glory and his mercy and his grace at an appointed time. And it's hard because as Perry was sharing that this lady got healed of cancer, but yet on the other hand, she lost her husband. This is glory to God for healing, Jehovah Rapha, but Lord, what is this? How do you reconcile your mind in terms of trying to understand the sovereignty of God in all of this? But when we get to glory, we will find out they will be there. Oh, I feel so love. You know, when you just feel those goosebumps, when I just said that, we don't understand God. But yet, isn't it amazing that Jesus came as a Jew, but he didn't just say, now you have to be Jewish for me to save you. You have to come through the line of physically being a Jew. Because if it had to be like that, we wouldn't have been sat here today. And so God's choice is he picks the most unlikely person. I don't know all your stories, but I'm just intrigued. Maybe some of you here today, we thought that you will never get saved. Like people even said, you saved? But then they also said, if you can get saved, then surely everybody can get saved. That is just profound because God chooses the most unlikely person for his glory. And so I'm just really thankful to God that that it didn't have to be, I had to be a Jew in order to receive his salvation. That's the grace of God for all of us, for all humanity. And so, like I said, it's this background of diverse audience that Paul is speaking to and the understanding of God's promises, particularly for Israel. And, you know, I find myself, like, say, in the church, it's kind of like we could easily be like, we are saved, and these Muslims, if they don't change their ways, they're going to go to hell. That mindset, oh, at least I'm saved. But every time when the neighbor takes out their rubbish bin and you say good morning, it's like, oh, you're not saved yet. You know, good morning, but you're not saved yet. We can have that. It feels like God has touched our lives. And therefore, we begin to stop praying. So today, I want us to go home, go in this week, and start getting into persistent prayer again. For the lost, the broken, the hurting. Where is our passion again? Where is that compassion for the lost, the broken, the least, the marginalized, the orphan, the widow, our brothers and sisters in prison? Where's that compassion? You know, that compassion will change everything. And we see in the first verse of Paul, actually, Paul begins with an expression of deep anguish for his fellow Israelites. His sorrow is sincere and heartfelt, highlighting his strong emotional connection to his people. He said, I am speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. So I was thinking, like, as I read, it's like, Paul, where did you lie then before? If you say you're not lying today. But what he actually meant was he was serious in saying, I'm not lying. This is really the truth. This is the sorrow that I have inside of me. So he emphasizes the sincerity and the gravity of his statement. He invokes Christ and the Holy Spirit to underline the truthfulness and depth of his feelings, indicating the spiritual weight of his words. So Paul is actually now saying that this is something serious. When last did we have that anguish and sorrow for the lost, the broken, and the least? That because we are his agents, he's working through us. And he has given us a gift of prayer that we can pray for the lost. And I mean today, you know, Leneth, I'm not putting on a spot, but she graduated. Did you guys know? No. Oh, sorry. I know. And I wanna honor her, because in this room there's so many people from different stages of our lives. Some retired, some graduating. And all of us, doesn't matter who you are, whether you work, whether you don't work, wherever you find yourself, you have the ability to pray. And so for her going into the new sphere of where she goes, I speak success over her. I speak God's favor over her, that grace and mercy will follow her all the days of her life. I don't need to look at you because I'm going to cry. Because this is the thing, that wherever we go, we have a gift of prayer. We can go into places when we have that sorrow. I remember growing up in Cape Town, that every Friday, it's always chaotic in Cape Town. There was a time I said, Jesus, can it only be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? That's it. Because Friday, Saturday, Sunday is chaotic every weekend. People are dying. People are drinking. People are abusing alcohol. It is just chaotic every week. But there were always Wednesday nights when the women would come and pray in our streets, and also in their houses they would pray. And you would play football, but you would hear, Lord, I pray for Ricardo, Lord. This is what the lady said next to our neighbors. She said, Lord, even as he pray and even as he go crazy and do what he does, Lord, I call him into your kingdom. And when this lady is now 96 years old, she prayed for me many times, and they cried before the Lord. Sorrow, anguish, Lord, save him. And when I went back to Cape Town last year, and I went to her house and I said, Auntie Valerie, thank you so much. I want to say that God has changed my life. I minister for the kingdom. And she just started crying. Because all those times where I thought, oh, these crazy people keep praying. Because when you don't understand that God has got a purpose for you, and he chose you before the foundations of the world, here's a woman that every Wednesday interceded for me without fail. Anguish, that passion to see God move in my life. Paul goes on to say that my conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit. My conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit. And Paul appeals to his conscience, attesting by the Holy Spirit to validate his emotional state. And this demonstrates that his feelings are not superficial or manipulative, but genuinely inspired by his deep connection with God. So he is in partnership with God. And this is the thing now that really struck me by Paul. When Paul says in verse 2, in verse 3 and 4, Paul goes on as far as to say that he wishes he could be cursed. Man, I said, Paul, now you're going too far, mate. You saved, man. Why would you trade in your salvation? And he goes on and he says, like, as he wishes that he could be cursed and cut off from Christ, if it would mean salvation for Israel. Would we trade in our salvation for the broken, the lost, the least, the neighbor who keeps cursing you? Would we trade in our salvation? So Paul has got this deep sorrow and anguish, and he says, God, please save them, even if it means that you need to trade. I need to trade in my salvation for them. I want to see them saved. Would we do that? Because we would look at, no. I know so many things of you. I know what you did last summer. And I know what you did last week. So I ain't going to trade in my salvation for you. Because what if they get saved and then they just don't live for Jesus? It's not a good deal. But Paul is talking about here, and he lists the privileges given to Israel: adoption, glory, covenants, the law, temple worship, and all the promises. You know, if I was Paul, I don't know. Jesus needs to touch my heart. But if I was Paul, I was like, I ain't dying for these Gentiles. I've got the law. I've got the temple worship. I got all the benefits. So if God needs to take it up with them, then God needs to talk to them. It's between you and God. But here Paul is actually saying, I want to trade in. I will trade my salvation in for the salvation of Israel. I will trade it in. Verse 6 and 7, God's word has not failed. And this is, again, this is now where we come in. The Gentiles, we've been included in it. It's just, you know, as I studied this, I was like, thank you, Jesus, you included us. It's the same as the Jewish people could say, you can't be saved because you're a Gentile. They could have said that, and they can say that. Some of them still say it. It's almost like you're not saved really. You're not really saved. But yet in the Word of God it says it's not about physical. It's about a spiritual. It's spiritual that we are children of the living God. Not because we need to be a Jewish person. The word has not failed. Not all who are descent from Israel are truly Israel. Physically descent does not guarantee inclusion in God's covenant people. We are part of his people. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet lost, he made a way to find us. And so therefore for us today is that what I want to say is, point number one I want us to focus on is to be persistent in prayer. Let's pray again. Prayer is communication, but there's something powerful about prayer when we pray the word of God, because God's word has not failed. So when we pray God's word, his own word will not return to him empty. It won't return back to him void. So when we pray persistently, even if we are tired, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Continuously pray, just like that lady in Cape Town who kept praying for me. And you know what? There were many near-death experiences that I experienced in Cape Town, but the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. She didn't know where I was. In fact, I didn't even agree with her prayer. I heard her prayer. Lord, we pray for Ricardo that he will go and preach for you. I said, I object that one. I disagree. I want to be a footballer and I want to play in England. And if you can pray that to Jesus, then I can say amen to that. But she prayed, she was willing to stand in a gap for me and find God's purposes for my life and pray that so that I could hear that prayer. Yeah, I'm standing by the grace of God, the gospel of grace, that he has chosen me. Even if I said, listen, I'm going to go wayward, I'm going to take my inheritance and I'm going to leave. But he's got a way of always bringing us back to himself. And I always thank that lady for praying for me. Persistent prayer is what we need, and compassion. Again, I'm not saying you don't have. I say we can always upgrade. We can take it to the next. And if you have stopped praying because of discouragement, keep praying the word. Because we can say to God, this is your word. And because your word says what it says, and you're not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. If I speak your word back to you, you have to move. That will make prayer more enjoyable, so to speak. Because if I can find, Lord, what is your purpose for LBC? Lord, what is your purpose for my neighbor? Lord, what is your purpose? The purpose of God is for everybody to be saved so that no one should perish. So our prayer is in that line, Lord, your word, you want to save and you continue to save. And so I pray for my neighbor again. You don't need to tell your neighbor you're praying for your neighbor. Just keep praying for your neighbor until it becomes something evident where they begin to see, do you know what? I had an encounter with Jesus. I don't know what happened. Because you're a Christian, right? Yes, I am. What happened? No, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. So compassion is an attribute of God. He's described as compassionate and gracious, merciful, slow to anger. And that's what he wants us to be. He wants us to be that as his ambassadors. That is what he wants us to be. So just like I said in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And Paul encourages us to maintain an ongoing dialogue with God. Continual attitude of prayer, having a prayerful mindset all the time. Having that mindset. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, which is you and me, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be patient with the ones who's not going to come through. Imagine for years how that lady prayed. The patience she had, because there's times I had to say to her, Auntie Valerie, don't want to be disrespectful towards you, but the thing is, there's no way your God can do what he do. Not with me, though. And she said, Ricardo, my God is powerful. Almost like I was the devil. Like, my God is powerful. He'll save you. He'll change your life. Because of that persistent prayer connected with compassion. It's so important. And I'm going to, here is Isaiah 55:11 says, so God's word will, so is my word, God says, that comes out of my mouth. It will not return back to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I send it. So we have to pray the word. Lord, I speak your word back to you. And according to your word, speaking back to you, you now need to act on your word. I think sometimes we pray our own things and God is like, what are you on about? That's not my will. Pray my will so that my word will not return back void unto me. It will accomplish that. So for us as believers, we are in partnership with God. And God says, pray my word, pray my will to come on earth as it is in heaven, in Lisbon, in your house, in school, for things to change. I've got a couple of minutes here when I just want to give a testimony. So we have to witness through our lives, wherever we go. We have to witness through our lives. I mean, at times you have to speak, tell people that Jesus saves and Jesus is able to do what he's doing. But you and I know, come on now. There's some people, when you start saying that, they start shooting you down. They are there. God set them there, just like Pharaoh, to annoy you. to see if you can continue pray in your secret place for them. So don't get mad at the people like, if I say this, they're going to say this. There's a season for that. If they keep saying it, show them Christ. Because there's two things. How will they know unless somebody preach the gospel? How will they know? Because we haven't spoken. But there's some people who already heard the gospel that said no to it. Those are not the people you preach to or tell them about Jesus. Those are the people that you show the character of Jesus. How will they know unless somebody preach? And also the Bible says, let your light so shine that they may see your glorious deeds and they will begin to glorify your Father in heaven. Matthew 5. So this is the testament I'm going to close. I love this, man. Wow. I'll come back on another time and do the other parts of chapter 9. But today, it was more of, in a world that's unresponsive to the gospel, you are the agent. So in Lanishan, as I, God told me to step out of ministry as we kind of like know it, you know, in the context of church, but he wanted me to be a kingdom citizen to impact the marketplace. Because many times I've tried to invite these people to come to church, they're not interested. And God says, you need to go into their space. Go into their space. I will give you the wisdom that's needed. So there's this young boy that I mentor and coach. And I never said, I'm a pastor. I'm this. None of that stuff. There's two young men in the school, very influential young men. And they said, hey, I saw your videos. You're preaching. Are you a pastor? I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. He said, you never said. I said, why did you want it to know? And he said, I'm a believer too. And I love Jesus. And I said, come on, let me pray for you. And I pray for the two of them. And every day when they see me in school, they say, continue to pray for us for our exams. And I just thought, wow, Lord, look at what you're doing. And then there's another boy who he's going through so much struggle. I mean, pray for our young people in schools. These young people are struggling. After COVID, psychologically, they are struggling. And this young man, he said to me, that he started going to City Church with the youth. But he comes from a broken home, this kid. And he said, I heard your name. People talk about you in City Church. Your name is a very respectful person, he said. And he said, I gave my life to Jesus. And then I now start telling him. First, I showed him, and now I can tell him. I said, you know what? I prayed for you. Ever since I came to this school, I prayed for you that God will move in your life. And he sat next to me and he says, he can see God's purposes for his life. He's 15 years old. And so now I said, because you know, now I can pastor you. So there's many kids in school now that I started pastoring because God was saying, hey, there's a time to speak and there's a time to show. And now because I've shown them, now I can tell them that this is Jesus' love towards you and for you. So you are God's chosen. John 15 says, You did not choose me. Look at that. God says, yeah, you gave your life to me and all of that. And God says, yeah, that's great. But according to the Bible, you didn't give your life to me. He says, I chose you. You did not choose me. I chose you. To bear fruit, and that you will, let me get that, and then I'll close. He says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, in the Father's name, I will give it to you. So I went to Lanishan High and I said, as soon as those gates open, I say, the kingdom of God has arrived again. I take that territory because God has placed me there, He's appointed me there to bear fruit. And whatever I ask in His name, I said, Lord, give me Lanishan High School. Every young person who's going through a tough time, every teacher, Lord, I claim them for you. And at the right time, I will speak about you. And at the right time, I will also show them your love. Because God is saving people. That is the gospel of grace. and that you are God's elect and chosen one. So, Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy today. Lord, I pray for everyone here that, Lord, we thank you. Everybody who gave their life to you, Lord, you've chosen them before the foundations of the world. I pray, Lord, that we will become persistent in prayer, just like Paul, who was anguished and sorrowful for the lost, the broken, and the least. And I pray over this church, Lord, that where people matters, that will be the portion of their lives. Wherever they go, whatever territory they walk in, that place you will give to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.